Now it is. There we go. Hey, good morning. You know, oh yeah, kids, if you want to go, they're gone. I'm not very good at that. If you don't think God is in everything, I hope after today you will. I had no idea who even gave devotions today. Jamie hit nail on the head when she said courage. I just smiled and chuckled to myself in the pew. And we sang a song this morning that I just smiled. How great thou art. Great song. But it ties in today. And I, trust me, I don't talk to anybody that gives devotions because I want that to be God-led. I want that to be their time. That's not something I want to be a crossover of the message. But today, Jamie, if you can get Julie your list of verses, it's funny, I didn't use any of those in my message today, but they all fit. I titled the message, Three Things to Remember When Hard Times Hit. And it goes with courage, fear, resilience. And you notice, you knew I was preaching because there is no passage, there is no title. This wasn't where I was going. I had another message already pretty much done. And this morning I sat down to finalize and go through that message. God changed my mind. And I when I preach, I try to preach on stuff that happens in my life, because I'll be honest, these messages are more for me than they are for you. You're not going to gain much wisdom from me. I hope that God just comes and takes over. That's my hope every time. So I'm going to go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are here. We know that you're in charge. And Lord, we love you and we thank you because of that, Lord. We also know that you did die on that cross to cover each one of our sins. And Lord, I just ask you to shut me down for this message and just bring out what you want to be brought out in this message. In your name we pray. Amen. So we got the title. I'm going to start with something different. You know, I use the Book of Faith as I have some motivational people in my link, and I use those, some that they forward and copy paste. I don't even know how to do any of that. I just read it and save it. But this is one that somebody shared, and it starts with a member of the church who previously had been attending services regularly stopped going. After a few weeks, the pastor decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening. The pastor found the man at home alone, sitting before a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for his pastor's visit, the man welcomed him, led him to a comfortable chair near the fireplace, and waited. The pastor made himself at home but said nothing. In the grave silence, he contemplated the dance of the flames around the burning logs. After some minutes, the pastor took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a bright burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth all alone. Then he sat back in his chair, still silent. The host watched all this in quiet contemplation. As the one lone ember's flame flickered and diminished, there was a momentary glow and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold and dead. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. The pastor glanced at his watch, and realized it was time to leave. He slowly stood up, picked up the cold, dead ember, and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately, it began to glow, once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the pastor reached the door to leave, his host said with a tear running down his cheek, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for the fiery sermon. I will be back in church next Sunday." We live in a world today which tries to say too much with too little. Consequently, few listen. Sometimes the best sermons are the ones left unspoken. I thought that was pretty cool. And you know, listen, we have to be in church. We have to be in this brotherhood because God wants us to be. You know, it's biblical. It's written down in there. Where one or more gather, I am there also. I believe that's probably Matt phrased. But so I lead with that, and then I tell you three things to remember in hard times. How was everybody's week this week? Everybody have a good week? Good week? Okay, so I'm the only one this message is for. And my work week was fine. I don't let my work week consume me too much. My home week was fine. Everybody got along pretty well. Lindsay got her wisdom teeth pulled. So, of course, Chris, the loving, doting mother, of course, took video of Lindsay when she was coming out of the gas or whatever. And it was pretty funny. And she's still a little chipmunky, but she had that done Friday. She's doing well. But if you ever want to see some funny stuff on Lindsay, just have Chris show you the video. It's pretty funny. But anyway, a week ago Friday, we were playing softball, and we're playing Mount Gilead. And there was a lightning flash, so the umpire stopped the game. We came off the fields, and then it started drizzling, and it was like four or five drops. And the umpire was like, "Oh man, the radar shows we're canceling. We're canceling." Dude, what are we canceling for? Number one, it was the bottom of the second inning, and we were ahead 6-0, so we were just coming to bat. I was looking to lay 25. Okay, so I was excited. We were playing well. We're hitting the ball. I didn't want to quit. I didn't want to have a rain out. And I look up on the baseball field, and the boys are still playing. And I'm like, "Well, Blue," I said, "what? How can they still be playing? Baseball rules are different." I said, "Well, how are the baseball rules different? They use the same composite bats we use. They're in the same wire-enclosed dugouts that we're in. I don't understand." Well, it's neither here nor there. They canceled the game. So we're going to Monday, fast forward to Monday, we're going to go play Mount Gilead at Mount Gilead, pick up the game where we left off, and then finish another game. What happened Sunday? It rained. In my field, I could have swam on it. I knew there was no way we were moving that game to Northmore. So we didn't play Monday. Tuesday, we could not make the game up Tuesday because there was an umpire shortage for Tuesday. I don't know. So here it was sunny and 62 on Tuesday. We're practicing. Wednesday, we're supposed to play East Knox. East Knox is quarantined, I find out Monday. So no game Wednesday. Thursday, we don't have a game. But I'll rewind to Wednesday. Wednesday, in my infinite wisdom as a coach, I decided we're just going to scrimmage. I pitch. I have catcher on each team and position players on each team. Well, in about the third inning, my best hitter hits a ball out of the park. My starting center fielder, who's on the opposite team, goes running back full sprint on a ball that's from me to the back wall out of the park. There was no question it was a home run. And she gets her foot caught, rolls her ankle, tears a ligament in the top of her foot. So she's out. Okay, Thursday, practice. It's cold and rainy, so we hit inside. Friday, again, we're supposed to play East Knox, no game. But we pick up a game with Clear Fork, who is a really good softball team, and I was pretty scared about that, but I told the girls, look, we'll play anybody anywhere. So we went down there and played. Friday at 11:30, my starting left fielder goes home sick from school. Cool. So now we're down two outfielders that are starters. And I'm replacing them with kids that I haven't played much yet because they're not ready to play. They're freshmen. They're not ready to play varsity softball. We play. We lose 3-1 Friday night to a very good Clear Fork team. And I was ecstatic because I was going into that thinking 15-0. I was ecstatic. Saturday we played a doubleheader with East Knox because they got out of quarantine Friday. It was their last day. God works on me. Because in my mind, we were going to sweep that doubleheader yesterday. Big scores. East Knox was 0-6. They hadn't played in 10 days. I thought, there's no way they can beat us. We get up 3-0. Then all of a sudden, we just go flat. In the fourth, top of the fifth inning, the wheels came off for us. We couldn't catch a ball. We couldn't pitch a ball. Our catcher couldn't catch a ball. Our first baseman couldn't catch a ball. Our outfielders couldn't catch a ball. We give up 8 runs. We're behind 8-3, and we're done. And trust me, it'll tie into my sermon. So after the game, my wife and my older two daughters say I have a walk that they know and love, that they know somebody's in trouble. And after the game, I picked up the two game balls and I headed to the right field corner and I just pointed. I didn't say a word. And the girls all came out. Man, I proceeded to come unglued. And it wasn't about the fact we got beat. It was about the fact of how we got beat. Because I knew we were the better team. I knew on paper and on the field we should have been the better team. But we got beat. Okay? So now my expectation level for game two is like, oh, I hope we don't get somebody hurt. And what happens? We go out and win 25-5. Only God knows why that happens. Because I cannot figure it out for the life of me. And that's why I told the girls after the game yesterday, I said, you know, you guys are the most fun bunch to be around, but you're the most frustrating bunch to be around because you just scored 25 runs on a game that a team that's the same pitchers pitching that we could not put the bat on the ball in the first game. And I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And I told them all along, we don't know who we are until we face adversity. And that goes for our Christian life. That goes for our work life, our home life, our married life, our teenage life, whatever. We don't really know who we are until we face adversity. So that's why this sermon has hit home with me this morning. You know, life is hard. Whether you're in a young marriage, you have a young family, you have a teenage family, you have kids that are adults. You know, when the kids move out, your worry doesn't stop. When the kids move out, your fear doesn't stop. Nor do your troubles. You know, we worry about our jobs. And the last two are probably the biggest two. Life is hard because of betrayal. Anybody here ever feel like they've been betrayed? And life is hard because of money. Anybody here have too much money? If you have too much money, I have a couple scholarships I'd like to use. Morgan's getting ready to go away to college next fall. Man, college is ridiculous. Shelby is still paying for college. But, you know, life is good. So, your trials are designed just for you. Our struggles are not all the same because we have a wise Heavenly Father who fits the trials to each person. You know, He's not going to give me more than I can handle. He's not going to give Les Winger more than he can handle. He's not going to give Neil Flider more than he can handle. Although, as a partner shepherd, Neil and I know, sometimes we feel like we got more than we can handle. But I learn a lot from sheep. Okay? But, the passage I'm going to use today is in James. We're going to be in James chapter 1. And I'm just going to start with verse 1. And if you don't think God has a sense of humor, this is one of my favorite verses, but it's one of those that just sticks with you because, man, I got to use it every day. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, I didn't look up the definition of perseverance, but here's what I'm going to tell you about perseverance. Perseverance means I've had to deal with something. And I've had to battle through. Okay? But if we read the first part of verse 2 again, consider it pure joy. Anybody have something this week that they went through and, man, they just sat back and considered it pure joy? Guys, that's a verse we need to put on our hearts. It's a verse we need to put on our hearts. Because it's going to produce the kind of person God can use. Verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, if there's any word I don't like more than perseverance, it's mature. Because I'm about the most immature person I know. I think just stupid stuff is funny. My wife said, how old are you? Well, I'm still young. I'm immature. I know it. Perseverance produces maturity. So think about that next time you're going through a trial. What God is trying to get. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Guys, I could stop the message right now because that's all we need to know. If we lack wisdom to understand the perseverance part of it, all we got to do is ask God. When we're going through something, do we always go to God and ask, or do we muddle through it for a while? See, I've told you before, I'm the guy that has to get hit by that 2x4. Okay? I don't know why, but I'm still that way. I have to get hit with that 2x4 before I understand how God's trying to use me. But here in verse 6, I love this verse too. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. You know, when James was writing this, I wonder, because if you think back to a group of people in the Bible, who does this passage so far describe? The disciples. The disciples. It talks about, perseverance, maturity, doubt, fear. And in the end, what did the disciples have? They had courage and pure joy. Now, I struggle with the fact that those guys walked with Jesus every day and they still doubted. I do. I struggle with that. But that was an important part of the piece, puzzle, because what do we do today? Guys, we have a relationship with Christ. We have the history of Jesus. And we still doubt. And we still lack maturity. And we still turn our back on Him. Guess what? He loves you anyway. That's the best part. Oh. Verse 9, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will even fade away while they go about their business. Guys, you know, that takes you all back to verse 2. Takes you all back to verse 2. Pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance produces maturity. Guess what? I used to have this discussion with God. Because my brother and sister sometimes don't go through any struggles. And my wife and I have talked about this. It seems like everything certain people touch just turns to gold. Guys, take hope in the knowledge that because you have persevered and you have grown, you're going to be deeper with Christ than somebody that's never, ever struggled before, because they have never learned to lean on Him. We're almost the verses I wanted to key on. Verse 12. This is where I started the actual message today. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. That's pretty heavy stuff there. You're saying that's my fault? Yeah. Yeah. It's our fault because we're human. And we have those desires and we get those temptations. Understand that Jesus was tempted, but He walked away. You know, and again, Jamie used a great passage. When He's in the garden, man, it could have been a whole different story. Jesus could say, I'm not dying for these fools. I'm not doing it. But He understood God's plan for the whole thing. And he said, you know what? If it is your will, I'm going to do what you want me to do. That's another thing I want you to pray on. When you're praying, man, pray in God's will. Matt's will is, okay, I want a new car. I want best job. I want no struggles for my kids. I want no struggles for me and my wife. I want my family to be healthy. Guess what, guys? I don't control any of that. My attitude sometimes controls the way I respond, but I don't control whether I'm healthy. Listen, I could walk out of here today and drop dead. My wife hates it when I say that kind of junk, but I could walk out of here today and drop dead. I know where I'm going. I pray everyone sitting here knows the same. And our job now is to get it out. Because we can't keep it in here. We can't. We have to be excited enough and mature enough to go out there and let people know the good news. Does anybody have anybody in their life that they deal with on a daily basis that they don't think has heard Jesus' story? I know that blows our mind that there's people out there that have not heard what Jesus did for us. Guys, I would challenge you that there is someone in each one of our lives that does not know Jesus. What are we going to do about it? I'm getting way off topic. And James writes that trials are part of our spiritual growth. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. He also writes that blessings reserved for those who respond rightly and don't blame God when trials come. You know, sometimes we don't go to God to ask for take that trial from us. We go to God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? I'd venture to say more times than not, that's our response when trials come. Because we're not quite there yet. We're not quite mature yet. Me included. James 1, 16 through 18. God is good all the time. Even during our hardest times. Guys, when things are going well, we like to give credit to God. You know, we say, oh, you know, God's giving me this, God's giving me that. Guess what? When things go bad, he doesn't walk away from you. It's actually the opposite. When things go bad, we usually walk away from him. So the three things you need to remember when times are hard. Number one, remember God's love. James 1:16. Don't be deceived. Dear brothers and sisters, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Guys, here's what you need to understand. You know, we've heard the story of the first fruits and the best of our labor, and when we tithe, it's the top 10% off of our income, and blah, 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 blah. We are God's first fruits. We are what God is going to showcase to the world when he comes back. He's going to say, look here, these are my people, right? That's pretty cool, and that's something we should be excited about. I made a note here. Beware of misbelief. When we forget what it costs God to save us. Guys, when we forget what God did through Jesus, you know, in John 3:16, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is what God gave up for each one of us. And that's something we've got to remember when times are tough, because he is not going to give us more than we can take. Nor should we forget the pit from where we were rescued. And it still goes back to the cross. Guys, do you understand without that cross what kind of world we'd be living in? I know at times this is hard to imagine, but that would be a worse world than we currently live in. We were rescued from the pit because of what he did. And then thirdly, we accuse God of mistreating us. And that's the misbelief. Beware of misbelief. And here's what I wrote down for that. We need to linger at the foot of the cross. What do I mean by that? You know, during Jesus' crucifixion, there was a group of people who stayed the entire time. They didn't just come for the beating, the crown of thorns, the hanging, and the death. There were a group of people that stayed faithful to him and took care of him even after his death. We need to linger at the foot of the cross so that Jesus can work through us. Second thing I want you to remember. Remember God's good news. And I'm going to use Acts 17:28. Well, and James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Then we're going to use Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets here have said, we are his offspring. And guys, we're part of God's family. Everything we do is because of him. If God didn't want us to move around, we wouldn't move around. If God didn't want me to breathe today, I wouldn't breathe. And a third thing I want you to remember is remember God's grace. What does God's grace do? It starts with God, not with us. There's nothing we can do to deserve God's grace. It starts with God. He has given us his grace. No strings attached. He's given us his grace. It produces new life. God's grace produces new life. Let's go to John chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 7. I Actually, I'll read verse 5. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again." Guys, we're all born into this earth by our mothers, right? What that passage is telling you is you've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you've got to have, you have got to make that step to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. He's out there. He's here. But we have to move to that relationship in Jesus Christ. God's never going to change. We have to want that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that produces new life. When we get our rebirth in Christ, it's a glorious day. Only God can give new life. Listen, when I'm done on earth here and I pass away, you know, my wife can't give me another life. The doctors are not going to be able to just... I mean, once I'm dead here on earth, I'm dead. You cannot get a new life. But when I die here on earth, guess what? I got a new life and it's perfect. It's perfect. And I'm going to live that new life for eternity. Not for 80 years. Not for 100 years. For eternity. We have a hard time with eternity because we're 2,000 years since Christ was born. Since we started tracking time, really. I mean, for my purpose. And that seems like forever ago, right? Can anybody imagine 2,000 years? How old is the oldest guy that ever lived in the Bible? Do we know? Nine hundred ninety-two years, I believe, right? Can you imagine living 900 years? Listen, I'm almost 50. And man, by the time I was 900... I don't know if I'd have a body part that didn't hurt. Oh, so I'm still good. I'm still perfectly healthy then. Okay, good. That's a lot to look forward to. Huh. Eternity. We have a new life for eternity. When we remember God's grace, it utterly transforms us and we become His first fruits. Guys, at the end of the day, that's where we want to be. At the end of the day, we want to be God's first fruit. And this statement, God intends to use us to display His grace. Do we ever feel like we're the poster people for God's grace? Or do we get so caught up in what is tearing us down every single day that we forget about God's grace? Guys, if you're going through something, I know it's not easy. I don't like going through things. But if you're going through something, what I want you to understand is God's using it to develop you. God's using it to grow you. God's using it to teach you perseverance and to mature you into a mature Christian. So that the next time somebody crosses your path that doesn't know Jesus, you're mature enough to show them. Because you can show them what He's done in your life. You can tell them the story of Jesus and being born lowly in a manger and walking on this world for 32 years as a human being, but being perfect, no sin. I don't know much about my childbirth, but I think I lasted about 13 seconds before I sinned when I was born. My mom would probably tell you I wasn't even out of the womb before I was sinning. Okay? Guys, we are sinners. We are broken. But he covered it. So the three things I want you to take from this, and what I want you to remember when you're facing hardship. Remember God's love. Remember God's goodness. And remember God's grace. Notice nowhere in there did it say remember Matt's love. Because it's imperfect. Remember God, Matt's grace, because Matt doesn't have much grace. I've told you before, if I was God and I had to give up one of my three daughters, I don't know if I'd have done it. He gave up his only for you and for me. Guys, that's something we should be excited about. That's something that should be easy to tell. And my challenge is, we get out there and tell people. Because we've got an incredible story to tell about God's grace and about God's love for us. We got to go do it. And I'm not, by any means, a poster boy for that, because I'm terrible at it. But every day I pray that God keep putting those people in my path and give me the words to use. Because I know that's leading to my spiritual maturity. And we're never a finished product. Listen, if we were all finished products, God would have already came. We'd be living in eternity. But we're not. We're constantly growing, developing, maturing, going, persevering, facing fear. Okay? If you ever, ever forget that God loves you, take a look around. Take a look around. If you ever, ever forget or doubt God's grace for you, take a look at your family. Take a look at the people in your life. I contend, take a look at this church. Because it's only through God's grace and God's love that we came through what we went through 4, 5, 6 years ago, however long ago it was. And are we perfect? No. Absolutely not. But you know, we're persevering still to gain spiritual maturity as a church. And if we keep toeing the line and keep following God, we're going to be His first fruits. And that's pretty cool. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank You for being here today, Lord. And thank You for the love and the grace that You show us every single day, even when we take it for granted, even when we don't deserve it, even when we turn our back on You, You are still there with Your love and Your grace. Lord, we love You. We thank You. And Lord, just this week I ask that we all face some perseverance and get a little more mature. And You put us in situations to share Your love and Your grace, Lord. In Your name I pray. So Wes and I are going to be here, and Jamie and Megan and Julie are going to sing a song. If you need prayer for anything, if you need to know God's grace and love, there's no day like today. That's the best decision you'll make in your lifetime, let alone this week. We'll be here if you need anything. Please.